Welcome fathers who are looking to inspire their kids and become fearless. This is the Become a Fearless Father show and I'm your host, Klaas van Oosterhout. I'm a father of two boys, husband and entrepreneur. This show is created to teach you how to take control and enjoy the most difficult job you've ever faced, fatherhood. I'm going to keep it real and share real life experience. A heads up, there is no magic pill. You will have to put in the hours, sweat and tears to achieve victory. Are you ready to improve your health, wealth, relationships, knowledge and become the hero your family needs you to be? I know you are. So get your pen and paper ready and let's become fearless fathers together.
Welcome everybody. Man, this is a crazy day for me and I like the fact that you learn to be flexible and you learn real quick that some things, some little tricks that we do work, right? So I was just talking to, I'm online by the way, so for everybody, just he's going to introduce himself in a second, with Patrick Allen Jones. And I was watching the guy doing a live and he fell and got up so quick and recuperated so fast. It was amazing. And proves that little things like working out every day help tons. So that's one. Now for me, I had an encounter with somebody out on the street. Somebody wanted to put flyers in our boxes, and I didn't want to let him in. I don't think you need to put junk in my box. So he started cursing to me in a language I didn't understand. So I talked back to him in a language that he doesn't understand, which doesn't help. So I was very frustrated all day, and for me, it helps my 4444, something I practice every day, and now I'm back in the mood. So I just want to share that if people do something really small, it can have a huge impact. That's it. Pen ready, paper ready. Here we go. Patrick Allen Jones, man, a father of five. I watch this guy on Facebook, insane, going live every single day, and I'm going to give him the chance to tell his background story, his origin story, and all the stories that he wants right now so we can get to know him if you go. So Patrick, please, man, take it away.
Yeah, man, it's good to be here. I'm a fearless father of five. You know, I started at, I don't know where you want me to start exactly, but, you know, I started at a young age at 21 years old. Became a father at 22. And, you know, it's been now my oldest stepdaughter is 16. My boys are 8 and 9 and my twins are 4. So I've got this very large range of ages. And it's been quite the adventure. Like literally I had to grow up with my children, literally, because my life has been very up and down until 2015. And I wasn't truly ready to be a father. Like I knew I wanted to be. I have four sisters. I got one brother. I come from a large family, but I did not know what I was getting into. And, you know, and I'm the type of guy that when I commit to something, like I'm just in, like I just do it and I go with the flow, you know, I take action and just things happen. I go with where energy goes. I flow. And I got married pretty quickly in 2008. And we had our first child within a year. It just all happened. And so I had to learn and learn the hard way. And it's been a constant evolution. And you know how it is. Like it's a constant evolution. And it's now a different learning now. Like my background story is I suffered with an eating disorder, a bulimic, for 15 years. And you know a little bit of the story. You've seen it. I've talked about it. But I was lying and in secrecy. I was hiding my identity of the binge eating, the overeating, the stress eating, the under eating. I didn't tell a soul until, gosh, it was probably, I don't know the exact year, but it's probably, I didn't tell anyone maybe till 2008 or 10. I didn't even tell my wife when I met her in 2008. She started to see these behaviors, the hiding the food, wrappers of this and that. And then she found throw up in the toilet. You know, it was a way of dealing with rejection. It was a way of allowing myself to sedate with food because it was my best friend. It identified it no matter what happened in my life. My wife, my kids, the trigger of my kids, whatever, like I could always numb myself with the food. But it's no different than, like, you know, any of your viewers that go to alcohol, porn, drugs. It really is a different mechanism. And so in a nutshell, I learned so many valuable lessons, but I didn't really learn them. Like up until 2015, like I was in all these situations and nothing was working until I decided to finally like make the decision, like this is the final pattern interrupt. Like this is the last interrupt in the fall of 2000. No, it was December of 2015. I said, this is enough. Like I had broken the pattern so many ways in my life. I mean, I had broken the pattern by hiring an eating disorder therapist and thinking that was a solution. So I thought that would change my life. I would get out of it and I would become a better man. Or I would go to a DBT program at a hospital for 6 weeks and commit all in, yet I was still binging and purging. Broke the pattern, but yet I was still binging and purging. And then I did the same thing at a psychiatry unit. I went for a 4-week program an hour away. And then I wasn't really committed to any kind of recovery because truly I just wasn't, here's what the truth is. I was still lying. Klaus, I was still lying. And so when I mean by lying, I was lying in all areas of my life. I would literally go to this 4-week program, come home, and I would go binge and purge still. And I still didn't tell anybody. So I lied because I was telling a lie to myself that I can keep this problem and everything's okay. But yet I'm going to this place, this center, this location, right? I'm going to this place. And yet, like, I did something good for me. So that was a story I said. And it validated why it was okay to sedate. Right? So I did that constantly. Whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, it didn't matter. I still went to the food. So ultimately, I was lying. I was lying to my wife, where I was, what I was doing. I was lying, and I was lying ultimately to me. I was in shame. And here's the thing. I've been a trainer for 15 years, Klaus, and like I would go, and I talked about this morning a little bit in the live show, but I would literally feel like a fraud because I created the, not even the illusion, I actually was giving people nutrition advice, writing out a meal plan, then shooting a YouTube video. And I would literally shoot the video on literally, you can go on there right now, my old YouTube channel, eight healthy habits to build, it's up there right now, build a healthy lifestyle. And I would have all these great ideas or things, not even ideas, actual things I did with clients. And then those were actually the exact habits that I wasn't following myself.
Mm-hmm.
So what would that make, what story that reinforce? I'm not a good person. The story of I'm bad, I'm not good, I'm a fraud, I'm a fake. So I didn't want to examine those stories. I didn't want to look at them. So what did I do? I went back into the cycle. It validated why it was okay to binge eat. And so again, it really came to a point where it was enough. Like literally I was going to 90 meetings in 90 days for Overeaters Anonymous. It kept me inside the problem. It kept me in the recovered pattern, but I didn't feel right about being inside that place. I mean, I was doing it. People were telling me what to do. One guy said, go on a treadmill. Don't call me back. Call me back after the treadmill. One woman said, here's a meal plan. If you don't follow it, I'm going to fire you and I'm not going to work with you as a sponsor. Mm-hmm. Another woman said, you know, you have to do the 12 steps in like 14 days. If you don't, I can't work with you. Like everyone had their own ideas around these 12 steps. And I was so confused. And ultimately I knew that that wasn't how I wanted to live. Like literally I would go to these meetings. I'd see these people talk about the problems to stay in the problem.
Mm-hmm.
There was no actual solution to live another way outside of what's inside those rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So the deeper part of me in my soul knew something beyond living a 12-step model for the rest of my life is possible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I became aware of it, but then I would sedate it with food and say, no, maybe I didn't believe myself in that. I didn't believe, oh, maybe it's just an idea that I could thrive beyond recovery, thrive beyond a bit beyond that. And I tell you what, man, like it was hard because my kids suffered. I don't remember, you know, a lot of my first couple of years of my kids' life because literally, dude, we would go to the casino, we would go on vacations, we go to a farm every year, and like literally it was a buffet everywhere. And guess what? It was like heaven for me. It was the place I chose on purpose, the vacation spot. I knew the food places and I knew the escape route, meaning I knew there was a place to purge in the bathroom afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like I literally chose them on purpose so that I could sedate and never be present. But I didn't do it because I didn't want to be present with my kids because I truly loved and cared about them. I did it because I was afraid to be connected to myself. Mm-hmm. And to actually be like, I was afraid to look at myself and look at the truth. So that affected my kids, and I didn't want them to see the truth of their dad.
Wow.
Yeah, that's powerful. So my question is, because you said, I decided, like, this is it, right? And you hear a lot from that from Tony Robbins. It's like, there's so many people suffering from, like, for example, smoking, and they keep trying stuff, but they're not really, like, deciding. And I keep reminding people, if you really want to fix something, you really need to have, like, I as an example, I say, look, you have to have $1 million that you want to run towards, and at the same time, you want to have so much pain, like a pack of hungry Rottweilers running behind you, seeing a big sausage and wanting to bite the ass out of you, that you just propel and never look back, right? What has been like, what is it for you? Because I'm assuming you kind of set for yourself something similar, like, okay, I decide not to. What propelled you? How did that work? Because I think that's so powerful for people to learn and really realize, because your story is very powerful, and people should realize that even if you're in a dark moment, there is hope. You just have to decide and then have some strategy, or at least that's the way I see it, but I hope you're going to share some light on that. You have to have some strategy how to make that work for you and say, that's it, that's forward, and backwards is just done.
Yeah, you know, I love Tony Robbins, and I've been in and out of his programs, gosh, since 2012. I think one of his RPM, I even got the program in audio, and I listened to it, and I was like, this is the program, this is it. And then I was still binge and purge. I couldn't figure out why would I still binge and purge. But yet all day long, I would listen to Tony Robbins. And then I would binge at night and purge. And I'd be like, what the hell? Like, why? Makes no sense. It was so confusing to me. God, I just remember on the airplane going to these masterminds for my business in 2012 in Kentucky. I just remember listening to it. And ultimately, like, there, you ask a really powerful question, and I love that, because it's, there came to a point where I had to accept the truth. I that's really what it is. So in 2015, I saw more of what I was doing. I became more aware of it. Meaning I was able to step back and look at myself rather than being me inside the problem clause. Like I finally, for the first time in 2015, literally could step back and look at this person and the life I'm creating. And I knew deep down inside that that life is not what I want. And my twins were born in 2014. So a year, like they were born before I went into starting into recovery. In 2014, in August, they were born. And in that moment, that was the third time I had been in the hospital. And guess what I was doing in there? I was binge eating on my wife's food, and I threw up in the bathroom in the hospital. I have videos on Facebook or YouTube that show 10 years ago, me say, telling the camera, saying, this is the last time tomorrow. Like, literally, it's on YouTube. And so, like, what happened was I went through so much shit, so much, like, fake, like, facade, like, this is the end, that I came to this realization that my life isn't working. But like, it wasn't like a moment where like one day I woke up and said, my life isn't working. It's I started to just see that year that what I was creating was false. It was a fraud. And people started identifying that to me. I was part of a men's group here in Stamford, Connecticut, and I was heavily going to it, and I was not willing to look at the truth. Yet there was this circle of men I'd go to every other week that I exposed myself, and I told them half the truth. But yet they knew me, so they saw the other half that I didn't tell them. So I started to sense that I need to start telling the truth and expose where I'm at. Like, there was this part of me that knew that if I would just face the reality, then I could possibly have change. And I knew, you want to know what? I knew, you want to know really what it is too? That's a piece of it. But the bigger piece is that I had a vision in my mind's eye. I had a vision that I knew one day I would be on TV. I had a vision in my mind. I would have a documentary, TV show, a movie. I would have a book written about being in recovery and thriving. So I actually knew that in 2012 and 13, 14, 15. I actually knew that in 2008 In 2008, lived in Manhattan. I actually started a TV show called Reshape Manhattan. I even hired a director. We were trying to get funding for the show. It was me as a trainer, like running around the city, like changing people's lives. Mm-hmm. So I knew even at that moment in my mind's eye, like I was destined with a message to serve the world. No idea what it was at the time. You know, I already wanted to serve the world, but it was a message of someone that I was not, that I didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. It was a message of weight loss and things that I didn't master at the time, which was just my own personal development connection to myself. So I didn't know. I just knew I wanted to help people in a massive way. So I had this vision since then. It became more clear in 2015, 14, 15, that I must break the pattern in a massive way. I must take myself out of this environment and go check myself out somewhere, because you probably heard this, Tony Robbins talks about it, but the mind or the psychology that I'm in today, the mindset I'm in today is not possible. It's not possible to become the man, the version of myself I want next in 6 months or 3 months or 12 months from now. It is impossible, and is a lie if I say it's possible, that this psychology, this mindset will get me there. There's other quotations around that. There's other versions of that. But like, literally, I realized the only thing I needed to do was break the pattern. But a YouTube video wasn't enough. A hypnotist wasn't enough. Like, I tried all that shit. And you know what? Did not work. Why? Because I wasn't truly committed to change. I knew it needed to be like a 30-day program. So I got my psychiatrist for months and months. I got him to write out these letters to get me into this program, and it was $60,000. I'm like, I don't have the money. But then he wrote necessity, medical necessity. And I'm like, I am going. I'm tired of living this way, and I'm going no matter what. Nothing was going to stop me. Even if I had to go to some cheaper place, it didn't matter even how expensive it was. I just needed to break the pattern and get out of my environment. So the last time that I binged and purged was inside of the airplane in the lavatory. I stocked up at Atlanta Airport. I literally got donuts. I got bags of chips, bags of candies. I had Subway. I remember it all. You know how I remember it all? Because I documented it all in video. Why? Why do you think I did? Because I knew in my mind's eye I would never go back. Mm-hmm. I documented me throwing up in the bathroom days and days before, crying on video, because I knew I'd make a movie and this would be in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind's eye, like I had this sharp vision that I'm not going back, and this is where I'm going. And why? Because I'm tired of this life, and I know I'm destined for more. And either it happens now, or it happens in 10 years. And I'm not waiting 10 years.
Nice, I like that. I really, one of the things that I really enjoy, and I've been enjoying with everybody so far, is the openness and the willingness to share vulnerability. And because it's not, well, you've just mentioned it. I've always lied. I never told anybody the truth. I mean, you have married, you never told your wife, while you know that the one person that you can trust with anything is your wife, right? Yeah. It should be. I know you can. I know you, I've heard from you that you can as well, but you know what I mean? No, so that's something that, see, one of the things that I have a mentor for a year now, and he's absolutely fantastic. And that's one of the things that he talks about. That's one of the biggest difficulties for people is facing reality.
Yeah.
That's one. And then the second one is facing reality without judgment. Right?
Ooh, now, that's spicy. Yeah.
Just looking at yourself from the outside saying, look, what you're doing is not the right path, but without getting an emotion attached of like complete anger and just you're a loser. No.
Wow.
You're messed up, you're outside, you're facing reality, and that's it, right? That helped me a lot, especially with being a father, because in first, you know, I was like, well, I'm a lousy father, I'm horrible, and he helped me out with that. I had really horrible mindset in regards to wealth as well. So that's so important. So I just wanted to share that, and I really hear that from you, that you have been developing a way of facing your reality without judging yourself in a negative way, just saying, hey, this is what it is right now, and this is where I want to go. What do I need to do? Period. And that's
very, you know what?
Hey, sorry for the interruption. I know you're really enjoying the show. Just want to make sure, if you're liking this information, please subscribe and press the like button. And also, go visit becomeafearlessfather.com. You get the opportunity to share your biggest challenge at the moment as a father.
and gives me the opportunity to try and help you overcome this. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of the show.
I got to tell you though, Klaus, on that note, like, dude, it wasn't perfect. After I went to that center for 30 days. Look, dude, I messed so much crap up. It wasn't perfect, meaning I didn't trust myself. When I left that facility, I had to go into another facility here locally in Greenwich and eat my meals at the facility. So I brought my food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. for a few months. I don't remember how long it was, but like I had to learn how to live. I literally had to learn another way. And so I then hired, I hired different coaches, different mentors, whether it's one session or whether it was a men's program or whether it was a virtual coaching program or an experience in California. I was then able to actually take information in because I wasn't ready before because I was in the problem. You know, it's like you can't, like you can be taught everything in the world, but if you're not in a place where you're able to actually take action on them, like, and I wasn't, it's all just a waste. It's all not going to work. So I then was on a mission to hunt down the man that everything based on where I was. And I created a way to do that. By creating 90-day challenges and year challenges and things I wanted to accomplish. What I wanted to tell you though was that one of the most life-changing things that happened to me last year was a 10-day meditation, silent meditation, 12 hours a day.
Wow.
Literally 4 a.m. wake up, 9 p.m. sleep. We were sitting for 12 hours without any music. We were by ourselves with other people and we couldn't move. Eyes closed, and there was no talking for 10 days. So I did that in September, and then I did it again this year in January, which I did a 3-day version, and I'm committed 100% for myself to do it every quarter for 3 days to 7 days. Like, I'm all in committed, and here's why. Changed my life. Everything that you just said is exactly why. I've never been in the now. And I never understood the now. Like, I read Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, but it's all from theory. It's all theory, which is great stuff. But I never understood the experiential level of it. Right? Like, how do you experience the actual now that you have nothing in the future in your mind and nothing in the past? And so when I did the first 10-day meditation, the Vipassana meditation, like, it took 4 days to purify my mind to the point where I no longer was in the past or the present. It took 36 hours of sitting to finally clear the bullshit garbage out of my mind so I could finally be present and experience reality the way it is, not reality the way I want it to be. That makes sense? And I didn't understand that. I even read this online, like, oh, the art of living, like Vipassana, the, you know, experiencing life the way it actually is. I'm like, that's total bullshit. Like, I didn't, like, I, in my mind, but I'm like, you know what? I want that. Like, that's what I'm after. So, like, one of my 90-day challenges from a spiritual standpoint was to do that. That was one of my challenges last year that I said, I need to do something uncomfortable that is one of the, like, hard, but it needs to be uncomfortable. So I did it. I committed. I did it. And you want to know who recommended me to it? My psychiatrist. So here's what happened. I exposed a story that I had stories for many years that I needed to take medication, but deep down inside, I knew I was misdiagnosed with bipolar disorder. I knew that I had ups and downs because I was clearly binging and purging and it looked like bipolar disorder 10, 12 years ago. So I knew years I was using medication as a crutch, as a story to get on like disability, to get extra income, to make myself victim and feel sorry for myself. So I finally came to the reality after clearing all the crap. Now I'm not binging and purging anymore. Now I'm not doing all these things. I need to eliminate and become and feel all of me, feel all of me. And so I did. So I said, you know what? I looked at the truth and the reality of what's going on. And I said, I need to talk to my doctor and tell him the truth. Like, I'm no longer going to use the doctor so I can write a script and then I can claim disability or I can have in my back of my mind, I can just have it as a crutch to whatever. I'm said, no, this is the end. This is the truth. Let me tell him, at least tell him and see what he says. So I said to him, hey, doc, like, I don't want to take meds anymore. I don't feel right. I don't feel normal. I never really have. And you know what he said to me? He said this. There's one thing that you can do. He's Indian. If you do this, you'll never have to see me ever again. And I'm like, what do you mean? He said, do this 10-day meditation, Vipassana. And I was like, oh, okay. So you're saying if I do this 10-day meditation, I'll never have to see you again. He says, yes, my patients don't need me anymore. And so I researched it, and then I signed up for it. And 2 months later, I went in September. And basically, in a nutshell, what happens in the meditation is you become aware of your body sensations. So what happens is when in the past, prior to the food issues, or when I had the food issues, I went right to reaction, right? Mm-hmm. I went from trigger, event, my kids scream, or avoiding a problem, and that's trigger, you know, whatever, or a joyful trigger of, oh, I just successfully lost 100 pounds from a client. Oh, trigger, didn't matter what the trigger was. Rather than going into the food, meditation, Vipassana allows you to actually connect with your body sensations. And what happens inside the meditation is you experience the reality of what is inside your body. And you do it from a place without, like you said, judgment. You do it from a place where you accept the vibration, if it's good or bad, and you don't even judge it. It is the vibration. If it's high vibration, sometimes there's no feeling at all. Mm. But basically, what I got out of it most is that if I'm able to accept what's going on inside of me, then I'm able to accept everything outside of me. So basically, in a nutshell, I was able to see the reality of what's going on internally. I went inside. I felt my heartbeat for the first time. Mm. I went to the vibrations. And rather than attaching to the vibrations, I actually observed them inside of me. I observed vibrations for 1 hour, for 2 hours, 12 hours a day. Didn't attach to them, good or bad. Didn't even judge them. If there were none, there were none. If there was a lot, there were a lot. And then all of a sudden I left there, and I could look at life very differently because I was observing everything, not attaching to anything, including my kids, which was like mind blowing. Like literally I picked up my kids a day later. Day 13, I got home and we were at the grocery store. Normally I would have some type of little bit of a reaction. Like I was pretty decent, but like literally I'd have some type of reaction where like I would like quickly respond, but reacted at the same time. I remember sitting at the grocery store down the street, and all of a sudden they were screaming, they were running, they were this, they were that. And literally I just observed what was going on and took action based on the observation, not based on the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different experience. So that's why I'm just saying this part, because like what you just said like 10 minutes ago is exactly what I experienced in this meditation. And like, dude, I'm committed. Like it's non-negotiable for me to go deep and deeper. Like there's a part of me that wants to do like a 30-day version, like next year. I mean, I want to go to the deep level of the soul, and like literally, because there's more gifts to find. Like I was afraid to go to the pain. I was afraid to go to the dark, but inside the dark is all the gifts, the gold, and where all the emotions are stored actions and energy to move you forward in life. And I didn't realize that till I went into the dark and felt my heart, and actually cried for an hour, like literally, because I was so happy and I loved myself for the first time ever. I literally thought I loved myself, Claus. Like I was like, oh, I don't binge and purge. I stopped this pattern, that pattern. Oh, I'm connected to my kids. You know, I love this, but no. I was never really connected deep down inside to me until that experience of the meditation. And the moment I felt connected, I just cried for an hour because I loved. This is crazy. This is the truth. This is crazy. I literally loved the man in front of me. Like it was like day number four. I didn't even talk to any of these men, these women. I saw them for the first time, and I actually appreciated them for who they were. I looked at the chicken, and I was like, that chicken right there, I love that chicken. It's so beautiful. It's got these feathery things coming down. It's going so slow. It's pecking the grass. I appreciate the fact that that chicken is there. I appreciate the leaves and how they're flowing up and down. So I couldn't recognize or appreciate and love what's in front of me until I loved and appreciated myself first. Life changing.
Absolutely. That's powerful, dude. Thanks for sharing that. I actually can't remember the quote, but it's something in the form of the biggest fear of men is sitting in a dark room by himself. And that's just exactly what you explained, right? Because that's what happens.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine, he's walking from the deep, this most south point of South America all the way to the most north point of Canada. And by himself, and I told him, man, you're going to have some deep demons coming out at one point because you're all by yourself and there's going to be a lot of voices talking to you.
Absolutely.
So that's powerful, man. And yeah, I admit meditation is amazing. It helps us out more than we know. And there's different forms. And I really appreciate you sharing your experience, your form. And I hope people pick up on that, because even though you notice that more and more meditation is becoming more accepted, there's still so many men that have to be manly men and think that, no, that's all hooey-hooey and I don't know what, spiritual and da-da-da. And okay. But at the same time, they're really believing. I mean, Jesus meditated. Simple as that. So thanks for sharing. I really appreciate that. So in regards to that, man, because you mentioned you have five kids, and I want to know from you what you think about, what your philosophy is about this. And I keep saying, this is one of the things I keep saying to all fathers, right?
Yeah.
You got five kids, so you got five kids that you're a hero for. Now, last time I said you're either a superhero or you're a super Nero, but super you are, because you are the superhero for your kids, no matter how bad of a person you are, no matter how good you are. So you kind of changed, right? You went from a super Nero to a superhero. And I just want to know from you, what's your philosophy in regards to the superhero? Because I saw that picture of you as Spider-Man. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. So
yeah, man.
Share a little bit your thoughts on that.
Here's one important thing. Get rid of the cell phone.
Mm.
Radical presence. Hard, very hard. But it is required and necessary. Mm-hmm. I don't battle with it. I just do it now. Like literally, I locked my phone in my car. I went sledding with them. I did a video on Facebook on this, and I think I had a picture or two. But I went sledding with them. We had snow here 2 days ago, and I had my phone in my pocket, right? And like it in my mind, I'm thinking like I want to connect with my kids. I want to be available and present, because again, for many years I wasn't. But like, that's not who I am. So I know immediately, I recognize, oh, I got to get rid of my phone. Like, I don't even want to feel my phone in my pocket. Because energetically, when I do that, my mind thinks of the email or the text or the Facebook. It just does. Like, we can't deny that as men, as fathers. It just does. And so I literally put it in my car, and we just had the most funnest connected time sledding. In fact, I think it was probably the best moments we've ever had. Because I was ruthlessly committed to find a hill to sled, and found one. And they said, Dad, let's play. But not only let's play, but like play with us. And that's a huge piece, is that like literally sled with us, Dad. Don't just watch us. And I go to the parks. I go to the parks with my kids when the weather's not bad or when it's warmer. And I see the dads sitting on the benches on their phone. And I used to be one of those dads, Klaus, like years ago. And I was not there. And then I became the dad where I was actually playing tag with all the kids. And then all the other kids ran with me and played tag with me with them. And they're all like groups of kids. And we have a game called Monster where they press the button on me. And like they're pressing that button and I'm like running and I become the monster. And they press it again and I become human. Like they know it. Every time I see them, they want to play monster in the basement. They want to play monster outside. They want to play monster on the street. It doesn't matter where. So like, It's ultimately like the biggest thing that has changed my relationship with my kids is one, to get rid of the phone and be radically present. The word radically, I learned that in like this DVD program like 5 years ago. It was like radical acceptance. And then like all of a sudden I'm like, okay, radical acceptance. But it's really, for me now, it's radical presence. Either I'm radically present or I'm not. Like there is no in between. Like you can't be 99% present and 1% not with your kids. To me, because then you're not really fully present. There's still a piece of you that's checked out. So that alone, like if anyone watching this, like the one thing to take away is lock your goddamn cell phone in your car when you go home from work. And look, I'm not perfect. There's moments where I'll bring it in because, you know, but here's what I do. I tell my kids, I'm not present right now. I need to send a text message. I need to send an email. I'll be in the car with them. But I tell them up front that I'm not being present. Like, I don't hide it. I don't pretend that I'm sitting there on the phone, like pretending like it's not happening. I say, and sometimes my kids will call me out and say, Dad, I'm like, oh shoot. Like, cause now I created a new standard for myself. So guess what? They hold me to that standard. Just like Tony Robbins talks about.
Tony Robbins
talks about that. And so, and look, there's part of me that got that a little bit from him. Like, I didn't study his program on that, but I read, you know, I heard about it, read some videos. You hear about him talking about this new standard. So literally I decided to retrain myself so that my kids will learn a new pattern, but now they're calling me out on that.
Nice.
And I love that. That means that what I'm doing is actually working. It's crazy.
It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. I love it. Because that's what it is, right? We're the example for them. And if they pick up on that and they're like, my dad's been showing this standard and all of a sudden he's not.
Right.
It's time to pull him out, call them out on that. I like that.
You want to know something else? I got to tell you, this is really a powerful one. So I adapted a new standard in my life 2 years ago, more so in the last year, and practicing this methodology of yes or no, there's no maybe. This was so hard for me because as a binge eater, as an overeater, it was always like the middle ground. I was always safe in the maybes. Like maybe I'll lose weight tomorrow. Maybe I'll get into recovery. Maybe I'll go to OA. Maybe I'll whatever. Like that's the land of the addicts is maybe. So it was so not normal for me to like actually make a decision of a yes or a no. It was so hard. It was so hard. And when someone asked me to commit a yes or no, I thought they were a fraud. Like I thought, oh, this guy's a scammer. This guy just wants my money, you know. But yet I had to look deeper into the truth. And I realized is that all they're asking to do is to get clear of what you want and be clear with yourself, either you're yes or no. And so like I started adapting this mentality after that of, well, let me just see how, if I can integrate this into my life. And then I started to do that. And then my kids started to notice because I would start to be either clear, I'm going to do this or I'm not. They know. And then all of a sudden they started living like that. And now once in a while, the maybe comes up. It's just the natural thing, right? We're humans. It comes up. So it's not even a maybe. It's more like I don't make a decision. I'm in the car and the kids, it's not even a maybe. They say, Dad, can we go to the playground? And I say, I don't say maybe. I'm like thinking, I'll think about it. And they said, Dad, no, is it yes or no? I'm like, no, I didn't say maybe. Like I purposely don't maybe say maybe. I don't say maybe. I say, give me a second. I'll get back to you. Like I'm literally postponing the yes or the no. It is the most amazing thing to see how much, like I didn't get this. I didn't understand this growing up. Like, and again, it was just me like trying to test waters to see how can I apply this in my life? And is this a principle I want to live by? And so I decided to do that, to commit by that. And it's not easy, but then it became new normal. So now it's like normal for me to say no to something or to say yes to something and just make that decision on the fly and accept the consequence either way, which is really important, to accept the reality of the consequence if you make that decision or that decision. And that was a huge thing. That is why I used to binge eat and overeat, because the consequence was something I did not want to accept, and I wanted to avoid it. So I thought I'd share that with you because that principle alone is so powerful as a father.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's one of the most powerful things, especially what you say, right? Because we're so afraid to make that commitment of yes or no. And not just yes or no, it's what you just mentioned, like what comes after, like, because this is going to produce something. And we're so afraid of that result is not what it must be, or, you know, it has to be. We're so trained to be afraid of failure. I already see it in my 5-year-old, and it makes me kind of sad that, you know, he's been taught to draw everything within the lines, and he gets so perfectionist, and then if it doesn't work, he gets so frustrated because he's afraid to fail, right? I can't tell him, like, he writes something and he didn't write it right because I want him to write and make mistakes, and he makes mistakes and he gets so, you know, look, it's fine, you made a decision to do something that you didn't know
right.
You made
that's
it
right.
It's okay, but school system in that case, man, I don't know.
That's great though, like just like the kids accepting that that's a decision that they made, and it's not good or bad. It's just what it is. It's a decision. Mm. And this is the consequence. Like my kids used to hate when I would say, you know, it was more when I was more into the parenting with, I used to be more of a dictator than I was a parent, where I used to dictate, you know, do this, do that, don't do this. And then I would just say things. This was in the last 2 years, it has drastically changed, and the last year significantly changed. But when I was that way, it was more of like, I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't who I was. I was just trying to figure out who I was. So I was trying to come across a certain way with the kids. And I then found out that's not how kids like to respond. Like, I don't want to be dictated. I don't want to be told what to do. I want to be heard. I want to connect and hear, like, what are you feeling, your emotions, and why, and then be able to explain to them from that point what you know is right. But by asking powerful questions, like, literally, I will ask my kids questions to let them really come to their own conclusion. Here's one of the most powerful things that I do. It's not even on purpose. It's just kind of what I, like, naturally, I feel like I almost wish my parents did this to me when I was a kid. Like, by allowing me to put them into my shoes.
Mm.
So basically, like, if my son did something where it was, you know, I don't know, so many situations I could come up with. He did something that his behavior was just completely unacceptable, screaming out loud, out the neighbor, or whatever it might be. And then whatever happened, slammed the door. And then basically I would reframe it. I would frame it completely different and say to him, you know, if you had a son who did that, like, what would you tell him?
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell your son? Like, I literally paint a picture in his mind and say, okay, take some breath, breathers, we're in the car. I want you to imagine this just happened. And, like, literally look, like, what would you tell your son if you were the father and you just saw your son do this? He slammed the door. He screamed out loud. Like, what would you tell your son? And, like, I would let him do that because it reframes it. And I did some really intense therapy. Therapy clause where I did these reverse chairs where I sat in these chairs a couple of years ago. Like, it's like, and I would talk to myself and I would look at myself and, you know, I would take myself out of the equation. So, like, literally this mind approach came to me, I don't know, a year ago with my kids. And it's phenomenal how, because I experienced that in my own therapy, my own work, like, I'm bringing that to my kids in a very different way so they can see a different perspective and create a new reality based on a different reality in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So it's powerful, man. Like, if any father watching this, like, literally ask your children what, you know, if you were the father, like, what would you say? Like, and then have them say it, because then they own it. And then they create a new change themselves. Like, and then ask them, I would ask them, well, is there a punishment or is there what, like, my son would want to go to McDonald's. And I say, well, would you allow your son, if you were the father, would you tell the son that you go to McDonald's? And he would say, no, I wouldn't. I would say, you need to eat at home. We're not going out to eat. But he would come up with that answer, not me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? That is so powerful.
Absolutely.
So powerful.
Yeah, and it works better too, because they say it and it confirms within them how to react and you know. Yeah, absolutely. I like that. That's very powerful, actually.
And look, Klaus,
trying to work with that.
This doesn't work like every time.
No.
It's not like I plan, I walk in the business. This is like not even weekly, not even every other. It just happens when in the moment when I feel it, energy, you know, it just happens. You know what I mean? It's just with five kids, you can't be doing the stuff with five kids around. It's just not enough. It's a one-on-one thing. And if it happens, it happens, you know?
Exactly. Now, but what you said before is that, you know, so many fathers are guilty of that, me included, is that, you know, you want your kids to listen to you and do the things that you want them to do. So you turn into a tyrant because, you know, what you say is law and they should do that, not putting yourself in their position. So that's what I keep calling. That's why I'm saying super Nero, because Nero, of course, was a huge tyrant.
I love it.
And that's what we show them, right?
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you mentioning that. In another interview, the same guy, he mentioned questions can be so powerful if you ask them at the right moment and in a certain way. Because if you ask somebody, for example, hey,
how was your day? Most responsive, most people will be like, me. However, if you turn that, just twist a little bit and ask somebody saying, hey, what was one of the great things you did today? Somebody just makes that switch and starts thinking, and that's what you try.
Yes.
That's why I like that. So that's perfect, man. So listen, you said best-selling author as well. Just, you know.
Dude, that's so true.
What makes a best-selling author? Why did you decide I want to write a book? What's the story behind that?
So I partnered up with, you ever seen the movie Rudy?
No, I don't think I have.
So Rudy, it's a very, in the US, it's a famous football movie. I think it came out, gosh, when I was born in the 80s. And there was an opportunity that I was offered 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago now, 2 years ago this fall, to partner up with the football player Rudy, who there was a feature movie about him. And that he was looking for people to contribute to his book about winning the day.
Mm-hmm.
That was the chapter I wrote, was called Winning the Day. Basically, the book was called For the Win. And basically, he wanted to create a book with different authors about their perspective about winning in life, winning in whatever scenario. So I wrote a chapter of the book about winning in life and the principles, the habits that I had to start creating to win the day. And I call the chapter Winning the Day, which is what I live today, like working out this morning, meditation, gratitude. I mean, all these pieces of the puzzle, what I put in my mouth, those are all pieces of winning the day. So I wrote a chapter in there and became, you know, all of us, all the authors became a best-selling author. With that. Yeah. So it was a amazing opportunity. I took the opportunity. So it's not my book. It's not my book, but my book will be coming out later this year, at the end of this year. I've been like hesitant for many years, like 16, I went into recovery, 17, like amazing recovery, 18 last year, like started to thrive beyond recovery, which is my brand, thriving beyond recovery. Finally, got into a whole nother level with the meditation, became connected to myself, deeper connection, like really thriving. And then the book wasn't ready. Like it was a story I told myself, I'm not ready. My message isn't ready. Like I'm not like, and but yet I was doing this podcast every week for almost 2 years now, like Binge Free Dad podcast. And I was giving. But like part of me wasn't ready because I was, and here's why. You want to know why I wasn't ready to write the book? I was still holding on to some truths that I was not willing to share yet. I was still lying in parts of my life. And I told myself, and I know myself deep down inside, in that book, I'm exposing every lie. I'm exposing every truth. Not even a lie today. It's more of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm committed to the truth in all areas of my life. That is the foundation of Thrive Beyond Recovery. And that is the biggest part of my book and how I'm able to help people with their eating disorders is starting with the truth, because that's what I had to do. You know, and everything and anything I tell people is because I've either done it myself, I live it today, or I experienced that at some degree, and it helped change my life or shift me in some capacity in some way. It's nothing that I come from theory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so the book, my, I know I'm tangenting from your original question, but that was a book. But my book is coming. My book is coming.
All I hear is I am a best-selling author, but my book is coming and I'm going to be best-selling author.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I like that confidence. And I can't wait. I love the people that I interview. I always keep telling them I want a copy. So I'm going to buy a copy, of course.
Absolutely,
however, I want a signed copy.
Absolutely.
Getting those, and I love that.
You
so, you mentioned like, you know, winning the day, and you mentioned tons of stuff, and this is something that I'm very passionate about. It's one of my first training, one of my first coaches that I'm sharing right now with all fathers out there is a solid morning system, right? So you just mentioned a couple of few things, but you know, maybe you can share as well, you know, how important has
How long have you been doing a morning routine? How were you before, and how is it now? What has it done for you, especially, of course, with what you have tried to overcome?
Yeah, that's a good question. As entrepreneurs, as people, those are seeking to always become better versions of themselves. I mean, we always are, but those that are, anyone that knows Tony Robbins or any of these motivational speakers or gurus knows that they teach that there's a morning routine, right? There's the morning routine. There's things that you must do before 10 a.m. And there's all these different theories. So I tell you that it was very hard for me to find a morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
Like I tried waking up, and then with 5 kids, it was almost virtually impossible. Like literally it became to a point where I was either, because I travel a bunch. And I tell you, like, it can be very difficult because I'm up at 3 in the morning. So then how would I get my hour of getting these habits done? Like, it was like, so I stopped arguing with myself. I stopped arguing and like creating, like I had this original standard that it has to be done before a certain amount of time. But then I said, no, like that is not going to happen. What I know needs to happen every day is I need to do 5 things every day for power, for certainty, for confidence, and ultimately to create that story every day and reinforce the story that I'm not full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
The story that I do what I say I'm going to do. I'm a powerful man, a powerful father, powerful in my relationships. I matter, and I created a way to reinforce the new version of myself that I am today. So it's creating a new standard and normalizing that standard. 5 things. So one is mindset. There's the mind part. So for me, it's meditation and or gratitude. Non-negotiable every day, every day, non-negotiable. Doesn't have to be perfect. So I used to also battle with this. When I left the 10-day meditation, the requirement to sustain the results that you get for the meditation is 2 hours a day of meditating, 2 hours a day. And I'm sitting there like, and everyone's, I can see on some people's faces, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is before you wake up, and this is before you go to bed. Like, everyone that does Vipassana meditation, the continuation of the practice minimum is 2 hours a day. And so like, I started battling for like, I don't know, the first month I was good. I did at least an hour a day. And then it became to a point where, you know what? This is about winning the day. This for me, it's about getting power for the day, creating certainty, creating momentum, and creating and building myself that I've accomplished something in these areas of my life. It's not about just an hour of meditation. So then I reduced it and accepted that even if it's 1 minute of meditation once in a while, I accept it. That's that's the reality of the day, right? Or if it's 5 minutes of meditation, or if it's an hour, if it's a half an hour. But all I know is it's non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation or mindset. The second piece for me, which is really, really important, is my body. A commitment to move, whatever that looks like. So moving could be 10 minutes of mobility. It could be, for me, it's my non-negotiable last year was 5 days a week of CrossFit non-negotiable. I did 230 CrossFit workouts last year.
Dang.
All I knew was that I was committed. I was committed. And I told you I do challenges, right? So last year, one of my challenges was to do CrossFit. A 90-day challenge, and to do 5 days a week of CrossFit. So then I adapted a new normal. After 90 days, I said, why would I stop doing 5 days a week? Like, I created a challenge of it. This is a challenge for myself and see what happens. And I just keep going. I just, because it's like fun. It's like dancing. Someone likes dancing. Someone likes yoga. Someone likes tennis. Well, you know what? I like CrossFit. So like, it doesn't, and I tell this to my clients and my programs for the binge eating and overeating, as I tell them, look, my thing is CrossFit. If you want to dance, dance. But do it for 10 minutes. And just don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop. Like, mind, we got the mind work. We got the body work. And then we got the health. So the health is nutrition. One of the hardest things I had a challenge with was, like, not even me. Well, it was. Well, there was a point where like I knew, because I was I'm a licensed sports nutritionist. I've been since like 11 years, so I know nutrition. I knew nutrition, but like I wasn't necessarily getting in. Like I would forget my fish oil every other day, or I would forget the green smoothie. It wouldn't be consistent. So then I've created the health version of the category for me. That domain is really just focusing on every day, non-negotiable. I need to add some type of nutrient to my body.
Mm.
Whether it's a green smoothie or fish oil, there has to be something that doesn't feel normal yet. Right? So that's the health category. So we got the mindset, the body, the health, and then we got relationships. This gets spicy. Every day for the last 2 years, well, not every day, almost every day, in the last 6 months, last 12 months, just about every day. But I started doing this 2 years ago where I needed to rebuild relationships again. I was disconnected. Like, even though I stopped binging and purging, you know, after 30 days or after that program, I still had burnt relationships. I still was disconnected. Like, they don't teach you how to connect with people in 30 days. They teach you how to manage your eating disorder. So literally, I work with coaches, I work with other people, other individuals. And one of the things I noticed relationships to rebuild them. And a daily routine every day where I rebuild relationships every day. So I started with, I do this. This is what I do. Two a day, non-negotiable. I reach out to two people every single day. And it's not about me, it's about them.
Mm.
Honor, love, gratitude, appreciation. And it could be a sticky note to my kids. I put it on the mirror and I say, I love you. But not just I love you because.
Mm.
And I give a specific reason I love them because of an event that happened yesterday. I love playing outside with you. And I saw you smile and I love seeing your smile. And I point out a specific thing. I don't make it general, otherwise it doesn't work. It sounds like it's like cliche. It's like it's fake. So I come up with an event, or I'll do either my kids. I'll do someone in my family, my sister. I've done all my sisters multiple times, and I've done my parents. I did my mom 3 days ago. It's somebody that not that necessarily I haven't done it with yet. It's somebody that I really, truly want to reach out to express true in the moment, like it's in the moment, gratitude for. And it might be, and I do this a lot. I'll hit the voice note on the iPhone, the voice shot, and I'll sit there for a minute to two, and I will literally just pour love. I will pour like what I really feel about the person, like how much I love and appreciate a moment in the past, like I did my mom, you know, gosh, a couple of days ago, and I wrote her an email, so it could be email. And I said to her how much when I was a kid, like I did this, and I didn't realize how much I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I look back now, like, mom, I really appreciate what you did. Thank you so much. Like, whatever is in my heart. Like, this is not something I'm planning, but I know two a day.
Hmm.
Two a day today. And what it does is it allows me to connect, reconnect with people.
Mm-hmm.
It allows me to get out of myself because I, you know, they say as an addict or eating disorder or whatever, like, we're selfish, right? So, like, I needed a way to become someone new, and I needed to do this every day. I need to be non-negotiable. So that's what the relationship piece is. So we got the mind part, we got the body, we got the health, we got the relationships, right? And then there's the big one, the fifth one. It's life. What I call life. This is what in my program I teach, again, the binge eating, overeating clients I work with. Each of the, I call this, by the way, the five to thrive. Five to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Five things every day to thrive. And so the fifth one is life. So I learned something, and then I share something. So I committed this year on January 1st to do 365 days of live video called The Daily Connection. I literally committed, and I said, this is going to be my giving back. I don't want anything in return. I just want to share and impact the world. I have 1 million people. It's who I want to impact. I want to impact 1 million people through all my videos. I'm probably at like, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000 with all the video, like, you know, views. I had to track that. It could be hard, but look, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just know it's going to happen. And so I committed every day, like, to share. So in life, it's about growth, right? So there's two things I do. I share and I learn.
Mm-hmm.
So every day, like I was up here earlier today and I was listening to Oprah Winfrey. She was talking about manifestation and how she doesn't do vision boards now, but she talks about how she manifests it because she feels the vibration of the feeling of it instantly in her, and she doesn't need to look at the visualization. So again, I'm learning something every day. Audiobook, read a book, whatever it is. Because I, what I realized is that why I was in the eating disorder in the past was because I would stop my growth.
Mm.
Right? The moment I got depressed, even in 2016, I was on my couch after I went to the eating disorder center, because I didn't know my purpose. I was afraid because I was a trainer still. And I was like, I don't feel right about this. I know there's something beyond, but I still was listening to Tony Robbins. I was still watching YouTube videos. I knew there was something greater, but what kept me holding on was that watching and growing and looking at, I need to keep doing this. I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. I just knew but I wasn't sharing yet. Mm-hmm. Right? The life piece. I started my podcast in 2016. I was on a vacation with my family in Lake Tahoe, California. And I sat there on the deck and I said, it's time to share. I was afraid. I'm sorry. This was 17, Claus. I was afraid to tell my story, Claus, from 16 all the way till summer 2017. I didn't tell anybody that I had an eating disorder. So I said, that's it. I'm killing this story. The story that I'm that my message is not important. Started a podcast and I decided that I need to not just listen to audio, but I need to share the truth. So this became the life domain that I do every single day to win the day. So we got, I'll sum this up. We got the five to thrive is in the mind, in the body, in the health, in your relationships, and inside of your life. Now, one thing I work with my clients with the eating is I add components to it. So basically, I have them get points per day. They get 5 points per day, which is the same thing that I live. They get 5 points, which is mine too. I mean, I live vegetables, but I have them go a little bit deeper. So with relationships, I go deeper and I have them look at the relationships with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I have them go deeper and look at the relationships with food. And I have them look at the relationships with others.
Mm-hmm.
So I have them look at all variations of all their relationships, not just their relationships in general with other people. We go to the food because a lot of people with the eating disorders, they have a disordered eating patterns of food and they don't know what to do. And so that's within that category, I've added those components, which is in my programs. So I know I went a little bit longer, but I wanted to explain the five domains and then the why behind it, and then kind of give context, not just tell you, oh, these are the five, you know. That to me, if I'm ever watching something or listening to somebody, like I like to hear the context of the around it, you know, not just the five things, you know, that changed my life, you know, or whatever, the five win the day activities, you know what I mean. It's
absolutely, so no, it. I definitely appreciate you sharing that. I gotta check real quick. Yeah, there we go. See, we've been on for more than that. I think we've been on for more than an hour. So, Patrick, man, for fathers out there that are watching you and are just as excited and have felt all the powerful things that you shared, if they have any more questions or if they're like, man, I want to follow this. I want to follow Patrick. I want to see what he's about. I want to know when his book comes out. How can we best follow you? How can we best get in, stay in contact with you?
That's a good question. My personal brand website's not up and running yet, but when it is, thrivebeyondrecovery.com is the site. It should be up in the next, it will be up 60, 90 days. Facebook, Patrick Allen Jones, A-L-L-A-N, if you want to follow me on Facebook, Patrick Allen Jones. Literally, if you just want to reach me direct with any question, just shoot me a text. I'm in the United States. That's the best way to reach me. I'm not used to putting the number one. But it would be the number 1-203-898-0028. Literally, if anyone has a question, just shoot me a text. Or that's also WhatsApp. I mean, I just, my 16-year-old been using that, finally got me on the WhatsApp thing. And so that's the same number on WhatsApp. And so whatever, just shoot me a message. I'm happy to respond, answer any questions, whatever you might need. Just literally, I connecting is non-negotiable now for me. Mm-hmm. I was disconnecting for so much of my life that now when I'm connected with others, like I'm thriving. When I'm able to give back without anything in return, I'm thriving. Like I just want to give. I want to give. I want to give. I want to give. And so if any fathers watching this here want like have questions about anything, like I'm so happy to answer them for you.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate that. I will definitely make sure that for the people that are watching this as a recording, as always, yeah, we'll find the link of his Facebook so you can connect through there.
Awesome.
If it's okay with everybody, I will not put the phone number just because there are other people out there as well. So you just have to listen to the video. And so, Patrick, then thanks for being on. Thanks for being so incredibly open about everything. I loved it.
Got it, man.
We're going to stay connected because I actually have tons of more questions. So who knows, in the future we get another opportunity. I wish you best of luck with finishing your book.
Thank you.
That's amazing. I know how tough it is and how scary it can be sometimes, especially where you're trying to set up your book. So props for
Thank
that and good luck. And man, we'll stay
Appreciate
in contact.
That.
And for everybody else, have a fantastic rest of the day. For me, it's evening. I'm about to call it a day, read some bedtime stories for my kids, and probably join the band. Done!
Nice.
All right, everybody.
Awesome, man.
And we'll see each other very soon. Bye-bye. Okay.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Bye.
Are you still meeting up with your friends now that you're a father? Kids making you stress out. You got no time for yourself to work out, read, relax. Can you still remember the time you were hanging out with your friends, feeling energetic, happy, and confident? Spending time together and talking about your life and your crazy dreams. You're feeling alone now, don't you? No one to share your challenges with, and you're just running around from one storm into the next. Well, it's time to change this now. Join me and the Brotherhood of Fearless Fathers to speak on a weekly basis with like-minded dads to crush your challenges, face your fears with determination, be held accountable, and regain control of your life. If you want to become the hero your family needs you to be, then go to becomeafearlessfather.com/brotherhood. Looking forward to seeing you on one of our next calls.